I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
This week we're making English sausage, known as bangers.
Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
Welcome to episode 48 of Cooking with Fire. Today we're talking about the classic full English breakfast.
The full English breakfast is a major departure from what most Americans eat for breakfast day to day. Sure, there are some of us that actually cook eggs, sausage, bacon, and more and sit down to a meal in the morning, but frozen waffles, sugary cereals, and microwavable breakfast sandwiches are much more common, but not in Britain.
If you have never seen a full English breakfast, the plate consists of eggs, back bacon, bangers, fried tomato, fried mushrooms, baked beans, toast, and fried bread. Black pudding is also regularly included, and in some areas, potatoes are on the list as well. While most of the items are fairly simple, both baked beans and bangers are different than anything we eat in America, so we're going to focus on the history of those two items. The first thing you'll notice on the plate when looking at the English breakfast is baked beans. Baked beans are not a common breakfast food in the US, and the flavor and consistency of English beans when compared to American beans is quite different.
The classic English breakfast beans are actually made by the Heinz Company. Now, how exactly did a company headquartered in Pennsylvania come to create the quintessential English breakfast side? Well, it seems that the story is less interesting than one might think. The Heinz Company opened their first overseas office in London in 1896. Heinz baked beans were first produced in the United States in 1901 and were first sold at the Fortnum & Mason department store in London. Now, there is no reason that we found in our research for Heinz beans first being sold overseas, but it seems that by simply selling their products in London, it became a popular British food.
Heinz then opened a factory in the UK in 1905 where they began manufacturing the beans as well. These beans were so important to English meals that during World War II, the Ministry of Food classified them as an essential food that was included in its wartime rationing system. The current Heinz factory in the UK produces 1 billion cans of beans a year, and the beans, until very recently, were only available in import stores back in the United States where they were originally created.
The next item that is a must-have for a full English breakfast is the classic English sausage known as bangers. Bangers, contrary to popular belief, is not a singular recipe, but instead a catch-all term used for all sausage links in England. There are many different types of bangers from all over the UK, from Lincolnshire to Oxford to Newmarket to Cumberland, with regional varieties stressing different fillings and textures.
But where did the term bangers come from? Well, it seems that during World War I, when meat was heavily rationed, British sausage manufacturers were using large amounts of filler in their sausages to make up for the lack of pork availability. These fillers changed the way the sausages cooked, and if the casing was not pierced before cooking, the sausages would explode. Soldiers and civilians alike began calling the exploding links bangers, and the name simply stuck. Now is the perfect time to get to today's recipe, classic English bangers on the grill. So let's cut out to Chef Tom in the ATBBQ.com teaching kitchen and get started.
All right, to start off our English sausage or bangers recipe, we have 5 pounds of pork shoulder. I've also seen veal mixed into this mixture, but today what we're working with is pork. It's roughly a 75-25 as far as the meat to fat ratio goes. The butt end of a pork shoulder works really nice for that. And I've cubed it up into 1 to 2 inch pieces. We're gonna kick on our meat grinder here, and I've got a 10 millimeter die attached. So we're actually gonna do a couple passes through the meat grinder, the first on this more coarse setting. Now, one good thing to keep in mind is you want everything to stay as cold as possible for just the right sausage texture. Our meat is actually about half frozen right now, so it's partially frozen, but not so much that it's gonna make extra work for the meat grinder. If we get this meat too warm, we can begin to melt the fat, and that really changes the texture of the sausage and the finished product. So throughout this process, you wanna keep your tools and your meat, everything you can, as cool as possible. All right, so we've got that first grind done. At this point, we're going to add our seasonings to the mixture. So let's go throw together our seasonings first, and then we'll quickly run it through the ground pork, which for now, I'm gonna throw in the fridge. For our seasonings, we have 1 tablespoon of kosher salt, 2 teaspoons of white pepper, 2 teaspoons of dried thyme, 1 teaspoon of onion powder, 1 teaspoon of dried sage, 1/2 teaspoon of ginger, 1/2 teaspoon of mace, and 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg. So we're just gonna mix all this together in a bowl. Already smells amazing. And then our spice mixture, along with 1 cup of breadcrumbs, we're now going to mix quickly back into that ground pork. So try to just distribute this evenly. The less we handle the pork, the better, because again, we're trying to keep it cold. And now just real quick, kind of distribute everything as evenly as possible. Now that coarse ground pork is getting coated in the seasoning in the breadcrumb. And now we're gonna go through the grinder one more time at a slightly finer setting. This one will be about a 5 millimeter die. All right, there's our second grind. The pork mixture is still nice and cold, which is great. We have to go next to the primary bind stage, which is where we're actually gonna mix this until it becomes really tacky. But just real quick before I do that, I'm gonna do a taste test. I'm just gonna fry up a little patty, see how I like the flavors, and then we can do any adjustments if we need to. Well, the flavor's right on, so we're gonna take our cold pork mixture and move it to a stand mixer. We'll transfer this to a bowl with the paddle attachment for the stand mixer. And this is the process that's really going to give this its signature sausage texture. So as opposed to a sort of loose ground meat, think of like taco meat or something like that, this will be much tackier, it will hold together, and this is, like I said, that signature sausage texture. So we're gonna go over kind of medium-low speed to start, maybe another notch higher, and we're only looking for about 30 to 60 seconds, so we can stand here and watch for the entirety of this process. But what you'll notice is these strands that were kind of loose and on their own before are now being pressed into one another and formed into a sausage ball. As this works around, we begin to achieve that primary bind, which is what we're looking to get. All right, so as I shut this down, oh yeah, we've got a nice, dense mixture of sausage here. If you pick up a piece, a rather large piece, and kind of pinch it and elongate it, you'll notice that even if you hold it by the top, it doesn't fall apart. It's all one cohesive piece now, and that's exactly what we're looking for. Now, we've worked this sausage quite a bit, and again, in the interest of keeping everything cold, we're going to throw this back into the refrigerator while we prepare the casings. Now I have the stuffer ready to go. Our sausage is already here in the stuffer. I'm threading on just the last little bit of our casings here. We're using a natural hog casing that's been soaked in warm water for about 30 minutes to an hour and then rinsed thoroughly in clean water. And that's just going on the horn of the stuffer now. Put a little bit of water down on a sheet pan and that's what we're going to be feeding our sausage onto. That helps the sausage move a little bit easier. If there's some water there, there's not as much friction and resistance and less chance of something breaking or popping. So the way I'll start this is we're going to get all the way down to the level of the sausage. We get some resistance on the crank, and I'm going to start to crank without any casing over the end of the horn yet, and we're just going to wait until that sausage makes its way to the end of the horn, and this will press out. There we go. Just use your finger to stop the sausage. This presses out any air that would be in front of it, and I'll go ahead and tie off the end now that I know that I don't have any air there. Now, if you do have any air bubbles formed, and you probably will, what I typically do is just take a knife and kind of tap the top of the horn with the casing on it. Creates a tiny little pinprick sized hole that allows the air to escape. So what I'm going to start doing now is just cranking slowly. I'm going to try and fill the casing nice and full, but not overstuff it, because we are first going to stuff this into a ring shape, and then later we're going to form our links out of it. Got a little air hole here. And as this comes off the horn, the sausage kind of naturally wants to curl, and that's great. That's exactly what we want it to do. So just steadily cranking away. I'm using my fingers on the bottom side of the horn and my thumb on top just to offer a little resistance so that we fill the casing to the desired filling, not too light, not too full. All right, so we're nearing the end of our first casing. I'm gonna go ahead and get rid of any air there, pull this off. And at least for now, I'm going to leave this end open, which will allow for just a little bit of movement as far as the sausage inside the casing as we turn this into links. So I'll go ahead and finish stuffing the rest of this, and then we'll really quickly talk about the simple link forming process. And before you know it, we'll be frying up some bangers. All right, now to form the links, what we're gonna do is start with the end that we started with the stuffing, so the end that's tied off, and we're gonna use the pinch twist method. So what I'm gonna do here is move in about, 8 inches or so. I think that's the size we wanna go for, and make a pinch. So separate what would become two links. Then move another 8 inches and make another pinch. And at this point, I'm gonna twist this in a forward motion. So now I'm just gonna repeat this process every 8 or so inches, pinch, pinch, and twist in a forward motion. So always twisting in the same direction, pinch, pinch, twist. It's as simple as that. All right, we've got our bangers formed and we've got to that last link. So I'm just going to make sure the last link is nice and full and then tie off the end. And at this point, these are gonna go back into the refrigerator while we prepare to fry these up. One thing to keep in mind with the pinch-pinch-twist method is that you're going to be cooking all these sausages at the same time. So if you want to cook a smaller batch, what you'll want to do is have shorter hog casings rather than long ones. Now at this point, these are ready to be fried up, but of course this is cooking with fire, so today we're going to be taking these out to the grill and grilling our bangers. I'm out on our teaching patio now where we have a Kamado Joe ceramic grill set up. We're running an indirect heat at about 350 to 400 degrees. So we're gonna get our sausage links on here and then we'll be back in about 5 to 10 minutes to check and see how they're progressing. All right, as these things warm up and some of that grease starts to come out, some of that fat's coming out, get this really nice sizzle. And that fat's dropping down on the hot plate, creating a little bit more flavor as it comes back up in the form of smoke. So I'm just gonna flip these now as they're starting to get some good color on the bottom side, and that way we can brown them evenly. Beyond color, what we're really looking for is an internal temperature of about 160 degrees to finish these off. So we'll be back in a few more minutes. All right, well, our bangers have come up to temp. They've got really great char color on them from the grill, which is what's really gonna make this one unique. 160 internal on those bangers, and these guys are done.
That does it for today's episode. Let us know if you cook this recipe and email us at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com to let us know what else you'd like us to feature on the show.
And as always, visit kmuw.org to get the full recipe for this week's cook.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. This allows us to reach more listeners. And join us next time as Chef Tom cooks up classic competition chicken thighs.